وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، the best narrative is the book of Allah، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، the best guidance is that of our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، and the worst of affairs are those things that we introduce into this deen of ours. وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ And every innovation leads astray. وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ And every going astray leads to the fire. This, brothers and sisters, the month of Ramadan, this is a blessed month. It is a month of supplication and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the hellfire. But there is a difference between the believer who has certainty and the believer who is in a state of doubt about his Lord. Should I use that word? About Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a narrative... And some of the things that we learn from are the lives of those people who were on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali ibn Abi Tahir, al-imam al-awhad, al-thiqatul hafid. This person who was considered a trustworthy, a person on the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gives a narrative. And he says... Actually, his students are narrating that when he went to Sham, he went with the purpose of collecting ahadith, narratives and traditions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he collected all of these narratives in a book. And when he was about to leave to get on the ship, he tied it up in a box. And when they started to leave, they got out from the shore and the weather changed and the ship started to turn left and right and the box was cast overboard and he lost his books. When he went to the shore, he remembered what Allah says. If my slaves, he remembered what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. If my slaves... If they request anything of me, I am near. And so he stayed for 3 days begging his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 3 days. And he said, Oh Allah, if my going out to acquire knowledge was for your pleasure, fa'aghithni, save me. And return my books to me. The third day he said this in sajda. He got up after completing his prayer and he turned around and the box was near to the shore. The box was near to the shore. See, this brother understood that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. But we need to have certainty and belief that Allah is Allah. And that all His attributes, His names and qualities are true and correct. This... individual, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him, he returned home and people started to come to him to require or to acquire some understanding of the deen and to learn from him the ahadith or the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he refused. He says, you know, really, I'm not ready to teach yet. And he went to sleep that night and he says to his students, he said, and I saw in my dream the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, if you know the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as is found in his shama'il, in the books that describe him, then know that the shaitan cannot take on the form of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you know it, then what you see is what you see. He said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came with Ali ibn Abi Talib. radiallahu anhu. And this person's name was also Ali. He said, Ya Ali, man amala Allahu bima amalaka bihi, whoever Allah treats the way he treated you, then don't refuse to narrate my hadith to the people. Teach the people. Let them learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down for their guidance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that this is a month, a blessed month, but we need to have certainty. And we learn from the people of the past. Al-Dhahabi, he says, among the real authentic narratives that came to me from Abu Abdullah Muhammad concerning jihad, he says that Al-Yas'i ibn Hazm said that they were on the battlefield and they were victorious and they had a lot of spoils from war. But the Romans came upon them in groups. Actually, there were about 1,000 Romans and only 300 of the brothers. So the Emir said to them, what do you think? And some of the brothers said, you know, leave the money for them and let's get out. The Emir says, you know, there is a person who says, if there are 20 of you who are patient, they will defeat 200. One of the brothers who wasn't so learned, but his heart was in the right place, he says, Ya Ra'is, Allahu qala hadha. He says, O leader, did Allah say this? The leader says, Allah said it. Wa antum taq'udun an liqa'ihim. Allah says this and y'all are sitting down from meeting these people. After knowing what Allah's promise is, y'all are sitting down. When the brothers heard this, all of them stood up and were victorious. All of them stood up and Allah gave them victory. Haywa ibn Shurayh. Ibn Wahab said, Haywa, he used to get a stipend every year of 60 dinars. Of 60 dinars. And what he would do before he went home, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you spend, Allah will spend on you. He would spend it all before he went home. And when he went home, he would find it all under his bed. All of it. His cousin heard about this and he said, let me try this. So he got his stipend and he went and he spent it all. And he came home and he started looking under the bed and he ain't seen nothing under the bed. He said, what's wrong? Ain't nothing under the bed. So he went to the brother, Haywa. He said, you know, I did what you did. Haywa said to him, said, when I give with certainty of Allah's promise. He says, what you did was practice. What you did was practice. In entering upon the month of Ramadan, we need to keep some of these things in mind, the promise that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Man sama Ramadan imanan wahtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. If you fast the month of Ramadan, having iman on the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for the rewards, all of your sins shall be forgiven. We don't need to enter upon the month in a state of doubt. We don't need to have doubt about what Allah has promised us. We are believers and we are slaves of Allah. Let us go with certainty and have the certainty that Allah requires of us. Don't you know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told a man, after a man came to him and he said, you know, got a stomach problem. Asqihi al-asl. Give him some honey to drink. Person came back and said, you know, the stomach increased in this ailment. He says, give him some more honey. Allah says it's a cure. It's a cure. Give him some more. Give him some more. Says it's increasing. He says, the stomach of your brother told a lie. Allah has spoken the truth. Allah has spoken the truth. Ain't no doubt about it. Eventually the brother was cured. But it is that type of certainty that we need to have with the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has spoken the truth. In this month of Ramadan, we have some of the narratives, and we're looking at Subul al-Salam. Actually, Bulugh al-Muram, Subul al-Salam is the explanation of it. And he starts out with a few narratives. The first narrative has to do with going into the month of Ramadan. And this particular narrative is collected by both Bukhari and Muslim and others. Both Bukhari, Muslim and others. From Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تقدم رمضان بصوم يوم ولا يومين إلا رجل كان يصوم صوما فليصومه. Do not fast a day or two before the month of Ramadan, except an individual who used to fast, then he may fast. In other words, you should not fast 2 days before the coming of Ramadan, just in a precaution, perhaps it might be in, and I'm not sure. This is how the ulama understood this hadith. You should not start 2 days ahead just to make sure that you get it when it comes in. No, don't do that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade it. Except for the individual who had a habit of fasting and his fast landed on that day, there is an exception for this individual. He may fast on that day. And there is no contradiction between the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have a narration, and I'm going to pass through the narratives and indicate some of the laws that the ulama deduced from them in respect to each narrative, because of the time that we have. We have a narrative which is of a similar nature, and it was reported by Silla ibn Zufar. Now what eventually we'd have to do, inshallah, we look at some of these narratives and some of the chains of the narration and look at some of the people in them as we go along. JazakAllah khairan. But this narrative, he said, we were sitting down with Ammar ibn Yasir. Everyone knows who Ammar is. Ammar was that companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who entered Islam in a time of difficulty. See, brothers, you know we have a different type of difficulty, but those brothers went through some things. They used to take Ammar, they used to beat him. They used to put a little fire to his flesh. Every now and then they would try to drown him and tell him, give up this deen of yours. Give up this deen of yours. And the Prophet ﷺ used to pass by them and give them, you know, glad tidings and say, be patient. Your end is paradise. Be patient. Don't give up the good struggle. What Allah has promised you is coming. Ammar ibn Yasir. He was sitting down in later days with his students who really didn't have a similar experience. And someone came, this was a day before Ramadan, and the moon was in sight. And so they bought some roasted lamb. And one of the brothers stood back, and he refused to eat. And Ammar said to him, من صام اليوم الذي يشك فيه فقد عصى أبا القاسم. Whoever fasts this day of doubt, this day of doubt when you don't know whether it's of Sha'ban or Ramadan and you fast it, the moon hasn't been sighted and you fast on that day, you have disobeyed Abul Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the kunya of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't fast on that day. This particular narration has been reported by some of the ulama, and amongst those in this chain of narration is Abu Ishaq, Amr ibn Abdullah, Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i. When he became old, a person said to him, knowing him in his youthfulness, he says, what's left of your strength, man? What else you got in you? He said, you know, brother, I've become so weak that I can only recite Baqarah in one raka'ah. I've become somewhat weak. This is all the Ibadah that's left of me now. I'm weak right now. Brother used to complete the Quran in every 3 days. He says, I've become weak. May Allah have mercy on me. Become weak. These were the people of the Sunnah who went before us, brothers. These were the people of the Sunnah who went before us. There was another person in a narration. It comes from another chain. His name was Rib'i ibn Hirash. Rib'i was one of the Tabi'een Jalil, one of the outstanding among the Tabi'een. Says to people around him who knew him from childhood, says, we never knew him once to tell a lie. He took an oath. He says, I swear by Allah, I shall never laugh until I see my place in paradise. Says, after he died, he started laughing. His brother, Rabi', never used to smile. He says, I will not smile until I know who I am, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person, the brothers who were washing his dead body said, a smile continued to be on his face whilst they were washing him. Continued to smile whilst they were washing him. These were some people who had certainty of this deen, brothers and sisters. These were some of the narrators of this hadith. That particular hadith teaches us that the month of Ramadan, you should not, if there is no, you don't have a sighting, don't go and fast just to make sure. That is an act of disobedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't do it. There is no good in disobedience. It produces only evil. It produces only evil. We have a narration from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tusumu hatta taraw al-hilal. Don't fast until you see the moon, the new moon. Wala tuftiru hatta tarawhu. And do not break your fast until you see it. Fa'in humma alaykum faqdiru lah. And if it is cloudy or overcast, then you estimate the amount, the number of days. In another narration by Abi Huraira, this is not found in Bulugh al-Muram, but it actually deals with the same issue. This is by Abi Huraira, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fast at the sighting of the moon and break your fast at its sighting. If it becomes cloudy, then complete Sha'ban 30 days. This is something that we should put into practice. This is something that we should put into practice. All right? Now, really, it doesn't take 10, 100 people to go inside the moon. But one of the things that Abu Hanifa used to say, he said, look, if you got a person, it's a clear day, and only one person sees it, and his eyesight is so bad, that if you were to hold up a bottle in front of him, he asked you, what's that, Holmes? Obviously, you don't accept his thing about I seeing the moon. All right? It could be a gray strand hanging down his eyes from him. And he said, I got it. I see it. Nobody else sees it. This is one of the things. But other than that, we have the hadith of Ibn Umar, where the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, in this particular hadith is reported by Abi Dawood and others. He says, Abu Dawood, he says, Hadathana Mahmud ibn Khalid wa Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Samarqandi wa inna li hadithihi atqan qala akhbarna Marwan ibn Muhammadin an Abdullah ibn Wahb an Yahya ibn Abdullah ibn Salim an Abi Bakr ibn Nafi an Abihi an ibn Umar. This is the chain of narration. All of the people are authentic. He says, the people gathered together, Tura an-Nas al-Hilal. The people gathered together for the purpose of sighting the moon. He says, فَأَخْبَرْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنِّي رَأَيْتُهُ. So I informed the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم that I saw it. And so he fasted and commanded the people to fast. He fasted and commanded the people to fast. Brothers and sisters, there is a principle that we need to appreciate. Whenever you have an express statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you have something that you could infer from another statement, what is expressed is always stronger than what you can deduce. We'll see why we're saying that. We have a narration in respect to this this particular report, which has been collected in other books of hadith concerning the sighting of the moon. This narration is by Abdul Rahman ibn Zayd ibn al-Khattab. It has other chains that support it. And he said that he gave an address on this day of Sha'ban. It was cloudy. People didn't know whether it was Ramadan or it was the day of Sha'ban. And he gave an address and he says, look, I sat with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do you think he mentioned the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why? Because these people were trained at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people had their tarbiyah from the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had their training, their education at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, as Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami said, when he came in as a brother who didn't have so much knowledge of the deen, and he entered and they were praying, and a person sneezed, and he turned around in the prayer, he says, the person says, Yarhamukallah. You know, and the brothers started looking at him, you know. But when they looked at him, he says, Mada tandhuruni ilayya? Why are you looking at me? Of course, he didn't know that you ain't supposed to talk. When he started to say that, the brothers started to hit their thighs. He said on conclusion of the prayer, he says, Wallahi, Wallahi, I have never seen a teacher before or after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who is better in the way his method of teaching than him. He says, Wallahi, he never reviled me. He didn't abuse me. He didn't say anything harmful to me. The only thing he says, look, brother, this is not the place to speak. This is a place for glorifying Allah, recitation of the Quran. This was the nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was his nature. This was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from whom the Sahaba learned. And you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when expressing to his companions and as a lesson for those to come after, he said, "Khayrun nas." The best of people generally is this particular generation. And know that what is meant by khayr, as we said the last time, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something is best and he doesn't specify in a specific area, know that it means that they're best in every which way. Not only in their character, but in their understanding of the deen. And there is no khayr in a person, there is no, let me put it this way, he doesn't have as much khayr if he doesn't have understanding of the deen. And this is why elsewhere, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man yuridi Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi deen." If Allah wants khayr for you, he gives you understanding of Allah's deen. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this generation had more khayr in them than anybody else, you know that they want the deen in understanding and in practice. For this reason, the brothers were saying, I sat down with the people who sat with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said to me, what did they say? Said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fast when you see the moon, the new moon, and break your fast when you see it, and perform Hajj when you see it. He says, and if it is cloudy, then complete Sha'ban 30 days. For in shahida shahidani fasumu wa aftiru. And if two people bear witness that they have seen the moon, then fast and break your fast. Now, what do you understand by this? You understand that perhaps if you only have one, that you are not supposed to fast and that you're not supposed to break your fast. Because he says if two does it, But when we look at the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is as if he said that no, it's sufficient to accept one, then that express statement is given priority over what we deduce from this particular narration. So it is sufficient then to have one individual. Now, there is another hadith, and for the purposes of hey. Brothers want to stretch out a bit. Understand. Inshallah. When we talk about understanding of the deen, brothers and sisters, we're talking about in every area, your aqidah. Everything. In terms of fiqh of the hadith, in terms of understanding of the language, in terms of all of those things. Look, this is an example. A person once came, one of the students of Anas ibn Malik. He saw him and he had on some socks, was made of wool. And he was doing mash on his footwear. And his student said to him, "Wiping on these things? You wiping on these things?" Anas ibn Malik says, "Huma khuffani walakinnahuma min suf." He says, "These are khuff, but they're made of wool." You know, his language was where the lexicographers, the people who build dictionaries, they get their understanding of the Arabic language. They go to people like the Sahabas because this was their mother language. And when you want to learn something, you see, well, what did Ibn Umar say about it? Because his expression is the language. So when he defines something in this way, it is hujjah, it is a proof. It is a proof. So from that you understand that yes, this is another way of understanding that particular terminology. So even in terms of their expressions, they are hujjah or proof in respect to the deen. Understanding the Quran and the Sunnah, of course we know that there is no one like them. They were taught by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But let us continue. And for purposes of making it clear, because a lot of the brothers and sisters have Bulughul Maram, it has been translated. The sharh or the explanation of it has not been translated. There is a hadith in it by Ibn Abbas, where he said that a Bedouin came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Inni ra'aytu al-hilal," I saw the new moon. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah?" He says, "Naam." Yes. He says, "Do you bear witness that I, bear testimony that I am the Messenger of Allah?" He says, "Naam, yes." He says, "Ya Bilal, adhin fi an-nas an yasumu ghadan." He says to Bilal, "Go and announce to people to fast tomorrow." This particular narration, which is found in the books of the Sunan, that is Abi Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i, and other books, Ibn Khuzaym and others, this particular narration is not considered acceptable because it has someone in the chain whose name is Simak. Now, his particular narration from Ikrimah is considered as not being very strong. And because of that, this narration is not considered authentic. So those brothers and sisters who have this work may want to make a note of that. Okay? Simak ibn Harb, he narrates this from Ikrimah, from Ibn Abbas. And his narration Simak's narration from Ikrimah is not considered authentic. So that particular narration, you can make a note of that. Now, there is a discussion in respect to beginning the month of Ramadan, okay? And it has to do with your intentions. Do you have to have intentions each night? Or do we look at Ramadan as one act of worship? And it's sufficient for you to have in your heart and your mind at the beginning of the month, you know, I'm going into Ramadan, my intention, you don't say anything, of course. This is all in your heart and your mind. I'm going to fast a whole month. Is that sufficient? Or is it necessary for you to have your intentions renewed each day, each night before the following day comes? Some people said, yes, all right, to have one intention at the beginning of the month. Others say, no, you need to have your intention each night before. This is the correct position because it's based on the sunnah. According to Hafsa, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, "Man that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yubayyit as-siyama qabla al-fajr fala siyama lah." Whoever does not have his intentions the night before or during the night for the fast before the true dawn comes, he has no fast. And we need to point out, this is collected by Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, and Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, Ibn Khuzaymah, other people. Narration is authentic. All right? But this particular narration does not mean that you have to get up in the middle of the night or before Fajr and say, "Oh Allah, I intend to fast tomorrow for your pleasure. I want you to accept it from me and don't let me die without accepting my fast." You don't have to say none of that. It is sufficient when you get up for the sahur, your intention is in place. It's clear that you intend to fast. Or you wake up, all right, and you have in your heart, you know, I'm going to fast. Even if you wake up late and the sun is up, but you go to bed with your mind that I'm fasting tomorrow, your intention is in place. There's no need to say, you know, "Oh man, I missed my intention today." That understanding is not the way the companions understood it. It was not the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them. The place of one's intentions is the heart. It's not on your tongue. So if you slip on your tongue and your heart is correct, you're all right. But let me say that again. If you slip on your tongue and your heart is correct, you slip. Notice that I said now, you slip. You made a mistake. And your heart, your intentions are in the place. And you, we're talking about something specific here. Brothers, don't stretch it out. We ain't talking about generally. We're talking about fasting and having your intentions for the fast. If you made a mistake and you said to your wife, "Look, you know, I didn't make more intentions." Your mouth, you slip like that. Okay? But you knew, man, that in your heart, I said, "I knew I was going to get up to fast the night before." Your intentions, don't worry about it. Your intentions are in place. Okay? Now, there is an exception to this rule where you don't need your intentions the night before. Yeah. And this particular narration actually is by Aisha radiallahu anha. But it deals with the optional fast. It deals with the optional fast. Umm al-Mu'mineen, she said, دَخَلَ عَلَيَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered one day. And he says, هَلْ عِنْدُكُمْ شَيْءٍ, y'all get anything to eat? You know, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, I bear witness that he has conveyed this message. أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده. He has conveyed this message to the people. He has discharged everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made binding on him to discharge. And he struggled in Allah's path the way that no one could equal. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He suffered. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He suffered. He suffered in this life. Hunger, thirst, pain, he suffered. And this is an example of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came in, you know, you have anything, anything. And the expression, indakum shay'un, anything. I mean, even a date. No, I used to say, man, days would go and we would be living on al aswadaini, the two things of life, water and dates. That's it. Day after day after day. Sometimes he'd come, we'd have nothing. So don't think, brothers, when circumstances become straightened that Allah don't like you. Inna Allah idha ahabba qawman ibtalahum. When Allah loves the people, he tests them. And this is why the Anbiya, they have a difficult time in this dunya, but they're going to be laid out in Jannah, inshallah. We got a difficult time in this dunya, but when it comes time to kick it in the life to come, Allah's got something for them. Inna Allah idha ahabba qawman ibtalahum. When he loves you, he tests you. Faman radiya falahu rida. Whoever is pleased, he has Allah's pleasure coming. You know, Hassan al-Basri, he used to say, Ar-Rida Fadila. To be pleased with Allah's decree is a noble thing. He says, Walakin as-sabr wajib. But to be patient is compulsory on all believers. To be patient is compulsory on all believers. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray for the highest level. He says, "Oh Allah, wa as'aluka ridha ba'd al-qada." I ask you to give me pleasure after your decree comes down. So we have in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam these things. Yes, it was difficult. He came and said, "You got anything?" He says, "No." He says, "Then I'm fasting." For inni sa'im. For inni idhin sa'imu. She said, he came the other day. Said, Ya Rasulullah. She said to him, Ya Rasulullah, uhdiya lana haysun. Says, today we have something that the brothers and the sisters, the neighbors gave to us. Not that it was in the home. Somebody, one of the people, one of the brothers, one of the sisters gave us something. Some dates with some ghee and some other dried milk and it mixed together. He says, arinihi, show it to me. He says, because I got up in the morning fasting. This is another principle here. فَأَصْبَحْتُ صَائِمًا. And he ate. Now, there are some benefits from this particular hadith which was collected by Muslim. This particular narration shows one of the things is that the person who is on an optional fast, he gets a fasting, he may break his fast if he wants to. Also, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked to eat something means that he didn't have any intention of fasting that day. But yet, after finding out that there was no food there, he said, well, then I'm fasting. Shows then that for the optional fast, it is not necessary for you to have your intentions the night before. It is not necessary for you to have your intention the night before. And this is something that the ulama deduced from this particular hadith because of the way it is expressed and because of what it come we find in other narratives. And we have actually some other reports to support that. And I'm going to mention them because they help us to understand that narration in Bulugh al-Maram. One such narration which helps us to understand that you have a choice in the matter, that it is not necessary for you, if you don't want to continue an optional fast, and you don't have to make it up if you don't so desire. Abu Sa'id, he said, I prepared some food for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Him and his companions came. And when the food was placed down, one of the brothers stepped aside and he says, I'm fasting. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, your brother called you, invited you to his home, went through this trouble to prepare the food and you saying you're fasting? He said, break your fast and fast another day if you want to. After wasum makanahu, wasum yawman makanahu in shitta. And fast another day if you so desire to do so. This particular narration helps us to understand, in addition to what we have seen before, that for the optional fast, a person, if he wants to break it, he may do so, even though this is not preferred. However, he is allowed to do it. The Prophet ﷺ tells us. All right? And the hadith shows that he doesn't have to make it up either. So we have those two benefits from that particular narrative that we have to work on. All right? Now, Now, okay, brothers and sisters. Our time is almost up, but let me just deal with a little bit, and then we'll close off, inshallah. Don't want to burden the brothers and sisters too much. We have a narrative, and this helps us to understand also the narratives that we've seen a few moments ago. And this narrative is by Aun ibn Abi Juhayfa from his father. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a brotherhood agreement between the Sahabas. You know, they'd be matched up when they first went to Medina. And it was between Salman al-Farisi and Abi Darda. Abi Darda. Now, Salman went to visit his brother one day, and he saw his wife, Ummi Darda, mutabaddila. Yani, she was not adorned in the home. Now, why would she want to be adorned in the home? Because this is where you're supposed to adorn yourself for your husband. You know, when the time after you finish cleaning up the place and such, you know, when the brother comes home, you know, let him see some of them earrings hanging. Yeah. So he was wondering, you know, something must be wrong. You ain't, you know. And I said, Ma sha'nuki, what's wrong? He said, Akhuka Abu Darda, your brother Abu Darda, he has no need of this dunya. He has no desire of this dunya whatsoever. So Salman waited until Abu Darda came, and he prepared some food for his guests. And Abu Darda said to Salman, eat, because I'm fasting. Salman said, I'm not going to touch your food until you eat along with me. I'm going to touch it. So Abu Darda went, and he ate. Nighttime came, you know, he's laying down, as the brothers say, kicking it, you know, in a room for the guests. And the first part of the night passes, Abu Darda gets up to stand up before his Lord to pray. Gets up. So the man told him, man, sleep. Go to sleep. Abu Darda goes back and starts lying down again. Gets up again to pray. No, people are striving for paradise, man. It's time to wake up every now and then tonight to try and save yourself. Abu Darda trying to save himself. Salman says, look, sleep. The third time he got up, Abu Darda, Salman said to him, Nam, kum al-an, now stand up. And he prayed with his brother. After he prayed with him, he said, look, you know your Lord got a right over you. Your body has a right over you. That wife of yours over there in that chamber, she has a right over you. So give everyone who has a right his right. Now see, the significance of this is not necessarily in the act of the Sahaba. It is what happens afterwards. And they went, Abu Darda wanted to check it out with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brother said to me last night, Ya Rasulullah, such and such transpired. Such and such happened. Told me when I got up to pray, go sleep. I went up and said, sleep. God have told me now, stand up now. He tell me that my Lord has a right over me. Your body and the sister over there has a right. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Sadaqa Salmanu. Salman has spoken the truth. Razdeen, Allah has it set up like this. The sisters have rights, the brothers have rights. These rights are not determined about, you know, how we feel, how we think it should be. This is Allah's deen. What Allah dictates is what the believers act on. Allah dictates that, look, if he is home, you must always be prepared for him. If he is home. If he ain't home, then you know that's something else. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَسُومُ الْمَرْأَةُ يَوْمًا تَتَوُعًا فِي غَيْرِ رَمَضَانٍ وَزَوْجُهَا شَاهِدٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ. That a lady should never perform an optional fast other than Ramadan. Ramadan, you don't need your husband's permission, sister. May I fast Ramadan? That type of questioning doesn't come into play, because Allah says to do it. Nobody has the right to say you can't do it. But for the optional fast, if he's present, you gotta have his permission. Alright? And this is what we have. There is a narration, and this is the last narration, inshallah, that we'll deal with, by Abi Sa'id and Al-Khudri. And this particular narration was collected by Abi Dawood. It is found in Aun al-Ma'bud, the 7th volume, 129. Abi Sa'id said that a woman came to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we were sitting down with him. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, my wife Safwan ibn Mu'attal, aywa, yadribuni idha sallayt, hits me. Now he ain't coming with a punch all the way from the east to the west and hitting his wife. He ain't doing that. Alright. A lovable tap, maybe on the shoulder or on the hips or something like that. An affectionate something like that. He does this to me. And he breaks my fast when I'm doing the optional fast. That's clear, right? Okay. Yeah. And he does not pray the morning prayer until the sun rises. Abu Sa'id says, and Safwan was sitting right there, sitting down. And so the Prophet ﷺ turned to him and asked him, you know, about what his wife said. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, he says, as for her statement that I touch her in this way when she is praying, says, she goes and she recites two surahs. Two surahs she recites. And I told her not to recite two surahs. The Prophet ﷺ said, you know, if it's only one surah, it's sufficient for you. Says, as for her statement that he comes and he caused me to break my optional fast. Says, Ya Rasulullah, she goes and she fasts and I'm a young man. Ain't got no patience to wait till the day finishes and then I gotta go to the iftar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on this day, said, you know, a lady should never fast an optional fast while her husband is present, unless he gives you permission. He says, as for a statement that, you know, I don't pray Fajr until the sun comes up. He says, we people of the house, this is something that is known, that we work and we hardly get up until the sunrise. He says, فَإِذَا اسْتَيْقَظْتَ فَصَلِّ. If you get up, pray. This other hadith, the last part of it, is for a person who has an excuse, who just doesn't, he is sleeping, knocked out. He's out. You know, and you don't get up if you're out. Whenever you get up, you pray. Don't delay it. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no atonement for it other than that. And this is whether the time is when the sun is rising or not. Whether the sun is rising or setting, whether it's a forbidden time or not, this is a specific situation here that takes precedence over a general law. As we said earlier, you may have general statements, but when the Prophet ﷺ gives you a specific law under this specific circumstance, it takes priority. This is why a person who for some reason delays his prayer, just before the sun sets, the Prophet ﷺ said, pray, and whoever catches one rak'ah before the sun set, he has caught the prayer, which means that he will be praying the rest of his prayer and the sun is going down. Likewise, if you get up and you wake up, don't say, oh man, the sun is rising. No, you perform wudu and you get down and you pray. Alright? And no one says, you know, man, I can't get up, you know, and you turn your alarm clock off so you don't wake you up. The hadith ain't about that. The hadith is not about that. Brothers and sisters, Ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud was sitting down with his students, Alqama, Al-Aswad, and one of the individuals came around with some water. And he passed the water to the first brother. He says, and I saw him. He said, I'm fasting. He passed it around to the other student. He says, I'm fasting. He goes to the whole sitting of Ibn Mas'ud and all of his students, says, Ana sa'im. Until the water came back to him, all of them said, I'm fasting. The water came all the way back to him. And he looked at the person who passed the water. He says, these are people, يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. These are people who fear a day when hearts would be tremoring and eyes would be fixed, out of fear of what is going to happen to them. It is because of this fear that you see them doing what they're doing. May Allah give us strength and give us courage and the understanding to be on the path of the Salaf. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
We'll take one or two questions. So. Okay.
What do you do? Yeah. Now.
We're about 20 minutes or something. It's something unrelated.
Okay.
I didn't know, because somebody said that your flight was in the morning.
It might be.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Okay, we have three questions that we'll answer for the brothers and sisters. This question is concerning the proofs of the Quran and the Sunnah concerning the Karamat, and briefly or roughly translated as miracles or extraordinary things that happen to people. One case is that of Maryam, when Zechariah would enter upon a chamber, وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا, always found sustenance. And according to the Mufassirin, the scholars, tafsir, she would have fruits out of season, and they would be extra large. Who provided for her? أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And she would say, you know, Zachariah said, you know, where this come from? She says, it's from Allah. Allah provides for whomever he wills. We said, you know, actually I had intended to present some of these areas here, dealing with the sense of certainty and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps his those who submit to him. Like we have in the Battle of Badr, where the companion said, you know, we would be fighting and we would hear a whip, a sound like a whip coming from the direction of the sky. And we look around and we see a kafir falling down. And he'd have a mark, a black mark on his face, but we saw nobody hitting him. We saw nobody touching him. Yeah, but Al-Wahid Al-Ahad, Al-Aziz Al-Jabbar was touching somebody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had his armies on the side of the believers on that day. Hey. Those are some of the things that we know, and there are many of those in the sunnah and in the lives of the companions, especially during the times of war. No. Their companions go to the Euphrates and the Tigris, and you know, he ain't had no way of talking about crossing. You know, brothers pull back on the stallion, say, Bismillah. No, let's go, Bismillah. And only the hooves of the horses would touch the top of it. Bap. Of course, when the enemy saw that, you know, we're dealing with jinns, man. Let's get out of Dodge. All right? But there were times, you know, of course, these are people who want their deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them. This question is about the breaking of the fast and the time of the dua being answered. Actually, for the fasting person, the whole time of his fast is the time when your dua is accepted. So, you know, for us who are grabbing for straws and who know that we're going to need everything we could get on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you know, let us not let this opportunity pass us by. You know. There is another question, and I think it's from the sisters. I had 4 days to make up for last Ramadan. I recently picked 4 days and decided to fast each of those days on the plan I had sent for myself or set for myself. Was my intent too far in advance? No. On 3 of the days, I didn't have the chance to eat before the fast. So I had doubts about fasting those days, but I continued my fast regardless. Should I make up those 3 days? No, there's no need to make up those 3 days because you didn't eat. All right? There's no need to do that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to one of his companions, said, I would get up in the state of janabah. Get up, meaning asbaht. Get up at the time of subh, yani when the true dawn is in, and I would still continue my fast. Alright? He would take a bath and continue his fast. If a person sleeps, for example, as we found in our last sitting from the hadith of Ali, he doesn't eat the sahur, he may continue his fast. If a person forgets or didn't because of this sister for some reason, he may also continue the fast. Eating the sahur is not a condition for the person to fast. Alright, so it doesn't invalidate the fast, inshaAllah. Wallahu a'lam. This question is concerning the wife who is concerned about a husband who sleeps real sound because he's exhausted. Okay? And she can't wake him up. You know, sometimes he misses the prayer, and she's talking obviously about he misses the time when it comes in, and perhaps the time goes out. And he makes it up after he gets up. I'm saying that because this is the way it is supposed to be if this happens. Should I leave him alone? Will I be held accountable for not being able to wake him up? There is a principle in terms of fiqh that we need to appreciate, brothers and sisters, and that is al-istita'atu mu'allaqatun al-wujub mu'allaqan bil-istita'ah. Compulsion is related with your ability to do something. If you cannot do it, then there's no responsibility or compulsion on you to carry it out. And this is why Imran ibn Hussein, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I have this problem, hemorrhoids. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Salli qa'iman, pray standing. فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ, and if you're not able to, فَقَعِدَ, then sit. فَإِن لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ, فَعَلَى جَنْبْ, and if you're not even able to pray sitting, then you may lie down and pray. If you're not able to, and we're talking about acts that are considered arkanu salah, or pillars of the prayer, standing is considered a rukun, okay, because it enters into the format of the prayer itself, what they call mahiyat al-shay, the actual format of the prayer. Yet, when a person was unable to do it, the Prophet ﷺ told him, do what you're able to do. And this particular principle is very important in areas of ibadat and questions that come up about the prayer specifically. But if the sister is not able to do, then she does what she can as she is doing here. And the brother, he must perform his prayer on awakening. Wallahu a'lam. There is a hadith for a husband when he desires his wife. Is there a hadith for a wife when she desires her husband? Except that you say, you know, fear Allah. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They have a right due to them, just like the responsibility that Allah has placed on them. That is what Allah says in His book. Let me say a little bit more. You know, Ibn Abbas, he used to really adorn himself when he was home. You know, some of his students asked him, you know, why are you dressing up like this? He said, you know, I like to do this for my wife, you know, to make her feel good, the same way I like for her to be decorated for me. And I want to, you know, also be, yeah. So, Ibn Abbas, really, you know, this understanding of Ibn Abbas was, you know, he received it from the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the person for whom the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayed. Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa alimhu ta'weel. Give him understanding and teach him the interpretation of the book. No. So he had understanding. So yes, sisters, you have a right. And the brother should fulfill this right. It's a matter of fact that in respect to the marital relations, the ulama mentioned certain specific areas concerning it, and that as the brother should be satisfied, the sisters also should be satisfied. Can the Muslim use dhikr beads to remember the count? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Khayrul Huda, Huda Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Abdullah ibn Amr, he said that I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using his fingers to do the tasbih. In a narration that we have in one of the musannafat, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed upon a group of sisters. And they were there, and he said, you know, remember Allah, glorify Him, and use your fingers when doing so, because they will be made to speak and they shall be questioned. You have then as-sunnah al-fi'liyah, the act of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was sunnah qawliyah, and his statement in respect to this issue. And for this reason, you should not go against that particular practice. As a matter of fact, we have narrations of Ibn Mas'ud where he would see people with these things and he would take it and snatch it and, you know, and pop it. What you doing? Bees, taking us back to Christianity? Rosaries? Buddhism? What happened? The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ain't sufficient for you? No, but brother, it helps me to remember. What you think, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want to remember? Or you think that his sunnah is so short that, you know, this was in a consideration? Or perhaps you never reflected on the statement of Allah, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, that your deen is complete, and what you have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is all that you need. Now, use your fingers. This particular question is about the performance of the prayer in Ramadan, Salat al-Taraweeh. Is it preferred for the sister to pray at home, or is it better for her to go to the masjid and join the congregation? We have all seen, or we know about, the narrative of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this narrative is significant because he said it in Medina, where his masjid is. And he said, the prayer of a sister is better at home. The prayer of the sister is better at home. And the more secluded she is in the home, the better still. So, with that statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I can only say what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the home is better. You know. However, this doesn't mean that you cannot participate if, you know, your husband allows you, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said, if your wife asks your permission. Now, you see what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? If they ask your permission. You know, brother, it's time for Isha, I'm gone. That is not the sunnah. No. As a matter of fact, if you get an ask, and one of the individuals, Shokani, in his mail, if you get an ask to go to do this act of worship, then what you think about going here and there? And this is important because, you know, sometimes, and I'm sure our sisters don't have this problem, but a reminder is good, that you know, you check in with the head of the household. Give him that respect. You know. And don't feel that it's above the sister to act. This is your husband. He is the ra'is in the bait. He is the ra'i. He is the shepherd. He is the head of the bait. Okay? And to humble and to be obedient to him is a sign of righteousness. For salihat qanitat. Righteous women are obedient. Okay? This is what Allah says. So a sign of righteousness is obedience. You check with him. Now, is it all right for me to do such and such? And it will soften his heart. You'll probably be able to go globetrotting with him. Huh? Hey. Now. Oh, yeah. Okay, brothers and sisters, that's about it. And we'll try to keep the other questions, inshallah, and to deal with them maybe at the opening of the other or afterwards, inshallah. We'll take that into consideration. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.